Black Oak Arkansas is an American band with their roots deep in a down-home country style of rock and roll that is unique only to themselves. For some years now, Black Oak Arkansas has been one of the top draws on the concert circuit, yet amazingly, they have not gained that much recognition in terms of album sales. Despite a reputation perpetuated by record companies and at times even themselves, the group is very accessible, with their lives appearing to be governed by very high moral and spiritual standards. During their last visit to Vancouver, CITR's Bruce Baugh chatted with members of the group about their careers and their thoughts in general.
That much in Canada before with your albums or in concert appearances, and yet you're one of the biggest concert draws in the United States. Do you think this is because your kind of music is a particularly American sort of music?
No, I don't think it's that, because over in Europe we're riding high right now. We just blew the Reading Festival wide open. It was 20,000 people. We were the first American group to ever headline in this annual, you know, it's like an annual thing at Reading. It's every year they had this festival. We were the first time that American group got the headline. We was proud of that. But I think that it's mostly because of not hitting the right place at the right time. Our records, even though there's records up here, like I say, they weren't out when we were playing. The campaigns and the push we were getting from Atlantic were not ever organized where whenever people were hot, we had good reception each time we played, either here or in Montreal or Quebec. We had great reception. We played here with Johnny Winters once. We had a great encore and had a great night. And still yet, people didn't have our albums before or after. You know, we came in and had a good show. So it's like, it defeats your purpose, you know. It's hard to get anything, any kind of momentum going if nobody's out there doing the other end of it. But in turn, through the popularity of the albums, through imports or whatever, people have gotten some of the albums up to here, but not because of any extra push. We've got some friends in Atlantic too that were good street people, you know. I'm not saying it just happened to be to where, since we didn't feel like selling out our integrity too, they had a lot of groups that were in the same line we was that they got more money out of, and I think we were sort of shelved because of this. And our success in America was not due to Atlantic either. It was due to playing a lot, due to touring. That's why we haven't been up here.
You guys do a lot of touring. Do you think that affects your style of music when you go back into the studio, or just how?
Well, it's...
I think it makes you better because you got the chops up to play so much. It's easier.
You're in tune more. You know, if you sit around for a long time, or if you don't, you know, if you're not active, you can, you know, it can go as easy as it can, you know, easier. And you got to stay active so that you really keep progressing all the time. The more you play, the more you're going to learn.
Theories are different.
As long as you can get some material together.
The material's the main thing when you're going to
studio.
But it must really sort of cut down on the time you can spend songwriting if you're on the road all the time.
Well, you get more inspiration out there than you do if you're a people group. If you're into things that are just not, you know, self-centered at home type of creativity. Because I love the home, and we have a great home up in the Ozarks, but there's a lot of people things, of experiences that people go through that you can learn a lot about, and you can experience yourself through traveling, that you want to write songs about a lot of times.
You can see other groups too. You get to go places that, you know, and see other people do things, where if you're home, you wouldn't know what was going on in the rest of the world. You know? It's good being on the road because you get to see what's happening around, you know, all over the states and, you know, other parts of the world too.
But if you're traveling, where do you find when do you find the time to sit down and work on songs?
We got a bus, see, that's a double-decker, and we do at the hotels. Right now, I bet you Morris is playing on his keyboard, and if he wasn't in here, he'd be playing on his guitar, and most of us are that way. It does take dedication and devotion to your art, whatever art you're in, you know, to be successful, but you try to keep it on your mind, you know? You just try to keep to where it's like keeping a muscle exercised. It'd be strong if you keep it exercised. And even on the bus, we have big nose amps and our acousticals and stuff. We don't have no acousticals on this trip, but we were supposed to. And we left really quick. We was in for a few days after we got back from Europe, and we started out again, and then we was gone. But it's something which, I don't know, it hasn't held us back any. There's certain things which I was fixing to say are different. Like, the sounds you get live, you don't always get them the same way in the studio. You know, it might be, when you're in a studio, it's a different situation. And through time, we've learned a lot. You know, at first, we were just country boys, and we got out there playing hard. Now, it's easy to go out there and play hard on stage and really get it on, you know. You go in a studio where you ain't got a crowd, and you know, back then, we had to start really reshaping ourselves. The first album came completely from playing in front of people all the time. All that material was really kind of aged in a good process. A lot of the new material from there for a while, up until Jim Danny and stuff like that, where we really started mastering the studio in the Hound Hog era and stuff like that. And I believe we started getting into a vein of simplicity to where we could really get out a lot of things which, I don't know, the extras show up better in the simplicity of truth. Our tracks are really...
Do you figure the lyrical content of the music is important? You say your songs are people-oriented. What do you mean by that?
Some songs are. We have... Not only the sexual controversy, which has been most sensationalized over a lot of your medias, which I think is almost a bad thing, almost more of a diversion of what is truly the better essence of Black Oak, Arkansas, you know, through us becoming a brotherhood together, being unique together, being having a life in the mountains together, and a lot of things that a lot of people don't have, and it's a family-type oriented group. We were discovered by the people. We were a people's group. It made us invulnerable to a lot of the... boycotting of medias, from radio stations to magazines back in the beginning of our careers. They, you know, stuck by us and made us, in a way, invulnerable to a lot of these things. And songs like Keep the Faith, which were sung to some people that might have a life on a silver platter, have a silver spoon in their mouth all the time, and daddy give them their own job and their own little company, their own little car and everything when they get out of school, they never have to worry. They don't know what Keep the Faith is about. You know, they don't relate. They say, what's Keep the Faith about what, you know? Let's think about being hot and nasty. They'd rather be into that vein because they ain't got nothing to worry about. But there's a lot of people, a lot of the silent majority, a lot of the working class people all over the world that can feel like they do need to keep the faith a little bit because there's a lot of pressures and suppressions that come on. That's what created rock and roll. You can do anything you want to do, just don't step on my blue suede shoes.
Played up a lot, but haven't you guys done a lot to play that up yourselves?
We've always been a big symbol of virility, and we'll never hide it. But actually, you know, on TV, or whether it's selling cars, or whether it's on magazines, what they want on the front page. Now, if we haven't picked out the pictures, no. We haven't picked out the subjects, no. We've talked about a lot of things. In every album, you know how many songs we probably had on each album that was sexually orientated? I mean, that actually came from this. Was maybe one or two songs per
but
album.
But in your stage presentation,
stuff like
it's
keep
pretty
it.
Explicitly
no.
Sexual.
Come tonight. Come tonight and then tell, and then talk to me about it after the show, all right? And then tell me what you see. Because have you seen it yet?
Well, I haven't seen it yet, no.
Okay, well then come talk to me after
the
show.
I've heard about it, and I've seen the pictures that even your own record company sends out to us.
Well, right. Well, if you're talking about the pants, man, the pants, Rudolph Nureyev wears them pants, and that's where I got the idea, because I like to dance.
Well, I'm not talking just about the pants. I'm talking about the way you hold the microphone, too.
I didn't pick that picture neither. I mean, I got all kinds of things I have on stage, but I ain't, you know, I'm not the running, hunching fool they try to make us out to be, you know. We always will be the sign of virility, and we always do. You know, we sing hot and nasty. A lot of kids, they let nature take its course in the back seat of the car after going steady for 2 or 3 years in high school, and all of a sudden people tell them you're nasty for making love. And that's why it was a satire, and it was a lot to do with, you know, how youth was going through things. We wanted to, and a lot of our public knew what it was about. A lot of our fans, you know, they realized that it was a joke on them. You know, they call me hot and nasty, but my friends all know me as Jim Dandy. Something which I mean, people sensationalize into being a lustful thing, you know, in which lust is not part of our whole thing. In our family, we have kids of our own. Our example is not that. It never has been. The way we live never has been. It's love, not lust.
Well, what is your attitude toward women then?
I love them.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, what do you see as being their sort of place or role in society? Like, there's a certain amount of sort of sexual aggressiveness in your music and in your stage presentation, and I'm wondering if that reflects a certain attitude toward women and about what women should be.
We also have a song on X-Rated, which is our first MCA album. It's called Strong Enough to Be Gentle. Now, Hot and Nasty, I don't see a lot of sexual aggressive things, you know, other than they're being passionate in a lot of different ways. Now, we have no grudge against women, and we're not trying, you know, when we make love to them, we make love to them. And I have a wife of my own that I love very much, and she likes the way I make love, and I like the way she makes love. And we got, all of us got kids, and a lot of us are still out caking and still searchers, and they meet a lot of, it's really no love. You got to love many things. But to love is not to lust, you know. To love is not to use. To love is not, you know, it doesn't come forcefully. We have a song on the new album, 10 Year Overnight Success, called Love Comes Easy. And it does, if it's real.
How was your success and all your traveling around and recording affected your family life?
Made them strong, if anything, because, I mean, that's the side of it that ain't easy. You know, I wish to Lord God I could beam in and out of each one of these towns like Captain Kirk does on Star Trek, but I can't. You know, that would be getting the ideal thing, because it's really invigorating to wake up in a new place, a new experience, and new people, meeting new things every day. That's great. You know what I'm saying? But it is hard, and being away from your family is hard, but we wouldn't drag them out here through it. We're the providers, and we have children, we have homes. And to keep the home stable, that's the spiritual stability of the whole family, you know, is the home. And so we have to be there, and when we are there, we have to give 100% of our time, a lot of times. I mean, other than our hours of rehearsing, which is, we have it pretty ideal up there. Our rehearsal hall is like 440 yards away from our houses. We all have separate cabins and live up there together in the Ozarks. And we have probably 100 people all together that works with us, whether they're caretakers of the lodges, or whether they're gardeners, or whether they work at the office, or whether they're on the truck farm, or different things we've gotten involved with. And it's more than anything. It's an ideal. It's a way of life. Like
what is the ideal? What is the way of life?
Independence. Knowing how to be and not needing so much. You know, Thomas Jefferson said the best kind of government would govern least. And we're trying to show them we don't need so many people to, say, protect and to serve, dressed up in blue, come an hour late and fill out a report. You know, we want to take care of our own.
So
we want to have the backbone to raise our own. We want to have farms that aren't so much for, you know, we get, you know, we try to get the nature's way. And we're trying to show people they don't have to. And a lot of people up here are the same way. And that's why we think that it'll really be far out. And because we're looking forward to the whole tour, because we get to drive through a lot of this beautiful country. In a lot of sense, we're going up through the Alberta, through different territories that we've always heard about, that, you know, even right here is like it's a really nice country, really fresh, really clean. I mean, people probably get to where they overlook it a lot of times.
Is this why you isolate yourselves in your little community called Heaven?
Isolate.
In order to, well, you do
we
have
went
a,
back to where we came
a
from.
Fenced off and everything.
No, that's just the fence around where a lot of famous people have fences around their place, don't they? When you deal with the public all the time, you have to have a certain amount of solitude and a certain amount. And a lot of people live around there. They really respect it and really help us a lot, because we've got a lot of good friends. I mean, the whole 1,500 acres ain't fenced in. It's just a place around where we live. It's like, you know, Elvis in Memphis has his fence around his house, too, because it got to where he had to have it. And up there in the mountains in Arkansas, there ain't no rock groups. I mean, we're the only one. And people come not only from Arkansas, but from miles around. We're, 5 miles away from the Missouri line also. We play not too far, 80 miles away from there in Springfield every now and then. And then when you're around places, you play all the time, and controversies raise up. And to us, like, it isn't seclusion. It's like we were brought up in country living, brother. That's just getting back to where we belong. I mean, you call it seclusion, but that's our way of life, is being out there with nature. And there's plenty of people out there. It just ain't all concrete. There's people all through them woods.